Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Well, it is a beautiful day, and I'm absolutely delighted you can see what a wonderful part of the world we are blessed to live in. I grew up within 2 miles of this place, and amazingly, it's relatively unspoiled. We live in a nation under a curse for disobedience to God. This, of course, is a sermonette, so in no way must it be corrective. That's not my place. I realize many people have issues with food that is produced and sold in this corrupt age. I have no medical training. I have no nutritional training. But we all can study what God has preserved for us in his word, and we have the balanced advice given over decades by his end time apostle. So I can't tell you what you should eat now. I can't give you advice on how you should deal with your various problems now, but we can look forward to a time when we can all enjoy real food. After the land has been healed, after God has cleansed up, renewed everything, the soil healthy once more, rested, unpolluted again, when food will not be irradiated, adulterated, refined, genetically modified, Roundup will be something you do for the cattle, not the plants. Sugar will be obtained naturally and not be a chemical industrial poison. Sugar-free drinks will not mean you are drinking wood alcohol. Salt will be an essential part of your diet, not something to be avoided. Fresh, home-prepared food will be the norm. It will need to be eaten before it spoils. You won't be able to put it on a shelf and 6 months later eat it and only have lost the smell. It will have still retained all the other foul ingredients. The food will be nutritious, digestible, but if you leave it too long, it will rot and spoil and will just have to go back into the soil to feed the soil. It will not need a long shelf life to maximize multinational corporate profits. As Mr. Anderson mentioned, we are privileged if we can get a lettuce less than a week old. I'm not an enthusiast for lettuce. My son-in-law grew lettuce this year in our little backyard, and to my utter amazement, it tasted. You could taste it. And it was even nice to me. Oh, green isn't really, meat, okay, but greens. God brought out a nation from the world to be an example. And he gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't a curse, it was a blessing. Let's have a look, please, at Jeremiah chapter 31. You're not really here to listen to me, you're here to hear what God has to say. So this was recorded for us in Jeremiah chapter 31. I want to start in verse 10. Hear you the word of the Eternal, O you nations. Declare it in the islands afar off. Well, the islands aren't so far off now. You're here amongst us. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Eternal has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Verse 12. Therefore they shall sing in the heights of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Eternal for wheat and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, lamb, and of the herd, veal or beef. and their soul shall be a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. What an incredible picture, what a beautiful picture. So many of those things that God has promised to give us are off limits to people. You read dietary advice, you have to leave so many of those things aside. Somebody tried to introduce me to a diet once which involved no wine, no red meat. I, at the time, was healthy. I can't boast about being healthy now. I'm an old man. But I was healthy and strong. The person who told me was frail. And they were advising me how to be healthy. God provides for his people. God has provided for his creation. Let's look at Psalm 104. Psalm 104, starting in verse 13, I want to read to 15. He waters the hills from his chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The oil, of course, is olive oil that makes the face shine. It is not rapeseed oil. Genetically modified for machine lubricants. When it was grown initially, we were reassured, don't worry about it. It's not for human consumption. What are you making a fuss about it? All right, maybe you don't like acres and acres of this yellow stuff, but it's not for human consumption. Now, a few years on, rapeseed oil is better than olive oil, apparently. It's got a lower fat content. It's in virtually every prepared food. Your nice, high-end, luxury biscuit has probably got rapeseed oil in it. So, if you're a machine, you're being lubricated very well. It comes from the advice of many of the celebrity chefs. I know judge a chef is, does he recommend olive oil and butter, or does he recommend rapeseed oil? The Apostle Paul gave a warning in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I would not have been able to give this sermonette if Mr. Bowles hadn't covered so many of the angles a few weeks ago. It is such a delicate area. I'm not attacking anybody. I can't afford to. I've got enough of my own issues. Thank you very much. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start in verse 1, see how far we could get. I'm almost out of time. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly, Paul tells Timothy, that in the latter times, now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrine of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, not by mistake. I may make a mistake when I'm up here speaking. I don't want to make a mistake. But these are lies in hypocrisy. They know what they're doing. Having their conscience seared with an hot iron. They don't care what damage they do to you. They're beyond caring about you. They just want to manipulate you. I want to manipulate you back to God's words, God's instructions. They will forbid marrying, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received. God created these things as a blessing for us, not a curse. Now, some of the ways they've been treated, they've become a curse, mad cow disease, getting animals to eat things that have died of themselves, of a disease. Advised by government specialists and scientists. The farmers didn't come up with this idea. It was promoted and forced on the farmers almost. To be received with thanksgiving, which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, Nothing to be refused. Oh, great, I can eat pork. No, I can't. For if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God. Reference Leviticus 11 and so on. And prayer. Remember to pray and thank God for the blessings he gives us. We do need protection nowadays because of the corrupt society in which we live. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Now, food, drink are subjects close to my heart, but it must not be our priority. Our priority is godliness. Food is merely a physical example to help us understand the really important things, the real, the spiritual things, the eternal things, the things that will last forever. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits little. I think we have to add a little bit to that. Physical exercise is good for us for a little while. We can't do the aerobics classes quite so much now. I can't run for 80 minutes around a rugby field anymore. But it profits for a while. We need to keep as fit and as healthy, looking after the body which God has given us for the temple of the Spirit of God. But that is of a short-term benefit. I'm not saying don't exercise, though sometimes we need a lot of spurs to do it. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Again, looking ahead, the future. Mr. Bowles cautioned me about giving advice about food to people. It's a minefield nowadays. I had mentioned to him how the health of the ordinary seamen in the British naval ships were improved over 260 years ago by adding lime juice to the brackish ship water, which was used to dilute the daily rum ration. The lime juice turned out not only to sort of remove the unpleasant taste of the water, but it countered scurvy in the crew. The ship's officers didn't suffer from scurvy, they had their own rations. When Admiral Anson sailed around the world, he had to replace his crew 3 times because they didn't waste money on the crew. They just had their salt meat and ship biscuits. The original daily ration was 1/2 pint of overproof spirit. And we call it Dutch courage. Still, this was later reduced until finally abolished in 1970. Many of the problems we face nowadays can only be solved during the reign of Jesus Christ. So then everyone will be able to enjoy red meat and the staff of life, wholesome bread, wine which cheers God and man, milk, butter, cream, cheese. People will be freed from the tyranny of food allergies, the stress of modern society, and food intolerances. Honey, cane sugar, and salt will be pleasures, not a curse. And Mr. Armstrong can stop referring to us all as the last degeneration.